Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Well, we are in a series here entitled Healing from the Beginning. And we've gone back to the book of beginnings, Genesis. And we're working our way through the Old Testament here, looking at all the different individual cases of healing where God healed people. God is a healer. And I guess that's the main point we want to bring out, is that He is a healing God. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, or that could also be translated the Lord healing. He is the Lord healing. That's just who He is. And so we see that. We saw that in the life of Jesus and throughout His earthly ministry. And of course, He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So we know that the Father's a healer just by looking at Jesus. And then the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we know God is the same. And so when we go back to the Old Testament, we see just a lot of the same things concerning healing under the Old Testament as we do in the New Testament. And so we're also learning about many different methods by which people could receive healing from God, and also looking at various different roadblocks that have caused people not to be able to receive healing, or that have allowed the enemy to come in and afflict people. You know, it's even better than getting healed if you can just avoid getting sick altogether. If you could just stop the devil before he ever even gets in the door of your life with any kind of symptoms. And so we're learning even that, how to just keep the devil out, because he is the author of evil. He is the author of sickness and disease. It all comes from the devil. It does not come from God. And so now we are in Numbers chapter 21, and we've been watching the children of Israel making their way across the desert or the wilderness. And the Lord's original plan for them was that they would enter into a promised land after delivering them radically out of Egyptian bondage. God wanted to bring them into a promised land, but there was a whole generation of folks, of Israelites, that did not make it into the promised land because they just could not get into faith concerning what God wanted to do in and through their life. They just continued to live in doubt and unbelief. And thus they were always griping and complaining and murmuring. And as a result of that, it frustrated God, and they were unable to enter into the promised land. And now we're getting towards the end of that generation of murmurers. Most of them have died off in the wilderness, and there's another generation arising. But before we say completely goodbye to the gripers and complainers, let's look at them over here in chapter 21 of Numbers. In verse 4, it says, "Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." Now, that worthless bread that they're talking about there is that manna that God was sending to them from heaven. He was giving them provision out in the wilderness. And every day they were able to go forth and gather this substance from the ground and begin to mix it in a pot like dough and make bread out of it. I mean, it was miraculous provision. But these people just constantly were ungrateful with what God was doing for them. And so they're griping and complaining. Have you ever been discouraged? You think you might have opportunity to be discouraged sometime again in the future. Yeah. Some of you might be experiencing some discouragement even right now. Might have came in here discouraged. You know, we're all going to experience discouragement. We're going to feel all the symptoms of discouragement and hopelessness in our soul, in our outer man at times. But it's important at those times not to yield to your flesh, not yield to your soul or your emotions, but to reach down deeper on the inside and draw out the faith of God that is in you. See, it's not like we're never going to experience discouragement in life. We are going to experience discouragement, but that doesn't mean you've sinned or you've done something wrong. It's what you do with that discouragement. These people did the wrong thing with that discouragement. They begin to gripe, they begin to complain. But for you and I, if we're going to live by faith when discouragement comes, what we need to do is open our mouth and begin to thank God and say, God, you're faithful. You're faithful. I don't quite understand everything that's going on. There's a lot of negative things going on around me, but I thank you that you're greater. You got a plan and you're bringing me through this thing. I'm just not going to worry about it. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. And you know, I've had the devil, because he's the source behind all discouragement. That devil's a negative devil. And I've had him just come at me at times when I didn't even have a good reason to be discouraged. And he really gave himself away. You know, sometimes if things are going on around you that, you get your eyes on it, then you can begin to believe that these feelings of discouragement are just your circumstances, you know, and not really spiritual, not really a devil that's messing with you. But man, there's been times the devil just had a desperation, you know. He just came, attacked me, and just showed himself up to me. I mean, just, it was so easy to see that it was him, because I'm just going along, and suddenly these negative feelings grip me. And these negative thoughts begin to come to my mind, and this thought comes, I just want to quit the ministry. I just want to quit the ministry. That's the thought that comes to me. I just want to quit the ministry. And I thought, that's crazy. I mean, there's no reason why I'd want to quit the ministry, man. I got the best job in the world. I'm working for Jesus. Amen. And so, you know, he kind of gave himself away. I knew it was him. So I just stopped right there in my tracks, and I said, okay, Mr. Devil, now that you said that and you want me to say what you just said to me about the ministry, I'm going to do just the opposite. And I began to raise my voice and said, Father God, I just thank you for what you've called me to do, and I'm going to fulfill every phase of the ministry you've called me to, and I'm going to run my race with joy. Hallelujah. And I just went off and just started confessing good things. Amen. And sometimes you don't even realize it, you know. You think it's your own thoughts. You think it's because of your circumstances. But there's a demon speaking in your ear, speaking words of discouragement to you. And you got to recognize these things and not yield to them, but speak contrary to them. Just speak the opposite. And cast those things down. Cast those thoughts down that are contrary to the Word of God, that are contrary to faith. Faith is never discouraged. Faith is never discouraged. So even though we might be feeling discouragement in our outer man, in our flesh, in our soul, in our emotions, bless God, we can reach into the faith of God that's on the inside of us. Hallelujah. And begin to speak contrary to those feelings. And that's what's going to give God something to work with in our life to bring us through adversity and bring us into the promised land that he has for us. I got good news for you tonight. You are on the way to a promised land. No, I'm not just talking about heaven. We can get off on that again. Oh yeah, bless God. We got all eternity to enjoy heaven. But no, there's a promised land for us in this life, on this side of heaven, right here on the earth. God's got a promised land for you and I. It's a land where we are walking in the promises of God. Hallelujah. It's a place where you and I are walking in the Word of God, experiencing his provision and all the things that he has promised us in life. And he has promised us an abundant life. He has promised us a healthy life, a strong life, a prosperous life, a wealthy life. That's the life he's promised us. And you and I are to walk in that promised land. So bless God, we're on the way. I said we're on our way into the promised land. Shouting the victory all the way. That's how you get there fast. Praise God. Just shout the victory. Just shout the victory all the way there. So that there aren't any setbacks. So regardless of what you might be experienced or might have experienced in life concerning negative things, just remember, they're just temporary setbacks. They're all subject to change. Hallelujah. How many of you have seen things change in your life that looked like it was hopeless and there was no way, this is going to take you down for sure. But you watched it change. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it'll turn around. It'll change. Bless God. Just follow Him. And some of you are going to have to rip up your plans and your ideas and say, okay, God, what is it you want to do? Because I'm ready to hook up and follow your plan and not try to figure out my own way out of this thing and figure out how I can be a success through my own wisdom. No, Lord, you show me, you lead me, you guide me. I'm going to follow you. Amen. And if you do, He will lead you in triumph. Do you believe that? Yes. All right, so here it says these folks were griping and complaining. And verse 6 says, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Now that tells us something right there, that the gripers get the vipers. That's a spiritual law right there. The gripers get the vipers. So you don't want to be a griper, because their griping opened the door for the devil. Somebody says, well, no, the Lord did it. No, we know from the New Testament, number one, that it's the devil who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, not the Lord. And also, even here in verse 6, it says, so the Lord sent fiery serpents. That word sent in the Hebrew can also be translated, would be better translated, let loose. So the Lord let loose fiery serpents among the people. In other words, there were fiery serpents around the people in that wilderness the whole time. As they were traveling through that wilderness. There were poisonous snakes there the whole time, but nobody was getting bit by them. Why? Because the Lord was a shield all about them. The Lord was protecting them. But once again, you begin to kick at the Lord. You begin to gripe against Him. You begin to push Him away. What happens? Snakes are let loose because your protection has been pushed away, has departed from you. As we've been seeing all through the Old Testament, through this journey in the wilderness, that it was as the people pushed the Lord away, it opened the door for the devil, it pushed their protection away, and it allowed the enemy to come in. So here, these fiery serpents come in and begin to bite the people, and the people begin to die. Verse 7 says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. Now that's they did the right thing here. The first thing they did was they confessed their sins. That's the first thing they did. The first thing was not making prayer requests. They didn't come running and start praying to God. They didn't run to Moses and ask them, pray for us, just pray for us. We need everybody to pray for us. No, first things first. Take responsibility for your actions. Recognize where you've missed it. You've opened the door to the devil, number one. And confess that. Confess that. Because the Bible says, even in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, it says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Isn't that good news? If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So that's the first thing they did. They confessed their sins. I missed it. I totally missed it. I repent. And then they asked for prayer. take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Now this is really an amazing thing here. You know, the Lord gives Moses something to do in order for the people to receive deliverance from the snakes and to receive a healing. Now let's just stop right there. Number one, we see that our God is in the healing business. Right? I mean, there's no indication that God even hesitated here. As soon as Moses, they repented, they went to Moses, said, pray for us. Moses prayed, and the Lord immediately had an answer for them. Gave them a solution to their problem. And notice, he gave them something to do to undo what they had done. See, they did something to cause this to happen, to cause these snakes to come and to bite them. They had done something. And so now the Lord gives them something to do to undo what they had done, which would result in them being healed from the snakes. Sometimes that's what the Lord will do. A lot of times folks just say, Lord, pray, take it away, just take it away. And what they need to do is they need to be open to how the Lord would lead them to receive deliverance or to receive healing. Sometimes there's things we need to do to get ourselves in a position to be healed. Sometimes there's things we have to do in order to be able to release our faith in God. Because remember, God works through our faith to bless our lives. He needs our faith in this world, in the earth. He needs our faith. He's in heaven, but faith on earth gives him authority to work in the earth on our behalf. All right? So he gives them something to do, and it seems a little strange, you know? He tells Moses to take a fiery serpent, to make a fiery serpent, so like an image of a serpent, and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So, you know, just kind of picture this. I mean, snakes are running rampant all throughout the camp, you know. Moses makes this statue of a serpent made of bronze. Now, bronze is a type, or brass, is a type of judgment. It's a type of judgment in the Word of God. It's symbolic of judgment. And, of course, we know a serpent or a snake is a type of Satan or sin. So here he takes the symbol for sin, or for Satan, and he puts it on a pole. And it's bronze, which symbolizes judgment. And he lifts it up. And as the people look at this serpent, they're healed. Now, again, we've been going through the Old Testament here, and we've been seeing a lot of types and shadows of the Lord Jesus. We've been seeing things that are pictures of Jesus who was to come. He hadn't come yet. We're in the Old Testament. But there's pictures throughout the Old Testament showing us Jesus and what he would accomplish when he comes to the earth. And this is another one of those pictures. In fact, Jesus, over in the Gospel of John, makes reference to this serpent on the pole and says, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was speaking of himself, being lifted up on the cross. So Jesus lets us know right there in the New Testament that this serpent is a picture of him. That snake of bronze is a picture of Jesus. So he says, wait a second. You said a snake is symbolic of Satan and sin and everything that's evil. That's exactly right. When Jesus hung on that cross, the Bible says he who knew no sin became sin for us. He became something satanic. He became something demonic. He became like the devil. He became like you were before you came to know the Lord and were born again. He says, I wasn't that bad. We were all a bunch of snakes before Jesus. Some of us just looked nicer. Some of us just hissed a little sweeter. But we were all a bunch of snakes because we were all sinners. That's who we were. We had the nature of the devil. Jesus became like us so that we could now become like him. Become righteous, just like him. Sinless, just like he is. But when he hung on that cross, he became our sin. He became everything evil. And he took the penalty for sin. He took the judgment of sin upon himself. The full wrath of God for sin, he took that upon himself. So that you and I, by looking at him, by setting our focus on him, by setting our affections on him, you and I can be made the righteousness of God through him. Hallelujah. And not only that, but by looking on Jesus, there is not just the forgiveness of sins, but there is healing. There is deliverance. Because if they had it under the Old Testament, if they had it in the type and the shadow of Jesus, how much more do we have healing today with the real Son of God who hung on the cross for you and I? Matthew 8:17, he himself took our infirmities, he bore our sicknesses. He became sin, he became sickness, he became that bite of the devil for you and I, so that you and I could be completely delivered from the power of the devil and healed of all his symptoms. Woo-hoo-hoo, hallelujah. Amen. And notice here in the ninth verse, it says, so Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked, you know, sickness and disease is the serpent's bite. It's the bite of Satan. I said sickness and disease, infirmity, anything that would cause premature death is the bite of the devil. Do you see that? And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. He looked at the bronze serpent. The Amplified Bible says it this way. When he looked at the serpent of bronze, attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, he lived. I like that. See, we're not just talking about a little glance. We're talking about keeping your focus fixed on him. Keeping your mind stayed on him. The Bible says, perfect peace to those whose minds are stayed upon him. Colossians 3 tells us that we're to set our mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. Set your mind on things above. So when it comes to Jesus, it's not just to be a little glance. It's to be a steady, absorbing gaze. We're to look at him attentively. Attentively. Looking to him expectantly. As though we're going to receive some crucial information from him. With a steady and absorbing gaze. Now you got to put yourself in the position of these people who are getting bit by snakes. I mean, there's snakes loose everywhere. I mean, at this point, you just saw Uncle Jack and Aunt Barbara perish from the snake bites. You know, you see people dying all around you. At this point, you're paranoid. You know, I mean, anything moves around you in the night. You know, you're tempted to just panic, right? And so, you know, there are these serpents loose. You got all this paranoia. You got all this fear in the camp. And Moses holds up this pole and says, "Now listen to me. Everyone who keeps their eye on this serpent right here, you'll live. You won't die. Even if you've been bit, you'll be okay. Just keep your eyes right here." Now, that might be a little tough to do when all of a sudden you're sitting there and your eyes are fixed on it and all of a sudden you feel something around your leg. You got your eyes up there and all of a sudden you hear somebody over here go, "I've been bit, oh Jesus." Well, they wouldn't have said Jesus because he didn't do it. "Oh, Jehovah." You just keep your eye on him. Kind of reminds me of Peter when he said to the Lord out there on the water, "Bid me to come to you." And he got out of the boat and he began to walk on the water towards the Lord. But then the wind kicked up, the waves kicked up, and he got his eyes off the Lord and he began to look at the wind and the waves. And when he did, he began to sink. He began to go under. When he got his eyes on his circumstances and his eyes off the Lord, he began to go under. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, help." Jesus grabbed him by the hand, pulled him back up. They walked back together, back to the boat, got back in the boat. And Jesus said to him, "Why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt?" The Lord was expecting him to keep his eyes on Jesus. You know, Jesus needs to be the big deal in our life. Not the devil, not our circumstances, not anything that's going on around us. I mean, everything compared to him should be completely not impressive to us. Anything going on around, I've told the devil at times, he's tried to stir up all kinds of stuff, and I'm not impressed. I've had people come running to me, making a big deal about stuff. I go, "Wait, I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed. I'm impressed with Jesus. I'm impressed with God." See, that's keeping your eyes on him. Stay impressed with him. Don't let the winds and the waves of life and the circumstances of life cause you to doubt him, cause you to begin to become self-defensive and feel like you have to protect yourself now. He's my defense. He's my protection. I'm looking to him. I'm trusting in him. You might say, "Well, how can I do that? I can't see him in the physical." No, but bless God, you have his word. He is the word. He is the word of God. So keep your eyes on him by keeping your mind on his word. Keep your thoughts connected to his. What does God say about this? What does God say about this? Now, I see what the circumstances are. I see the symptoms here. I understand everybody's getting it. But what does God say? "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law." Come on. And on and on and on and on. Amen. "I'll tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me." Hallelujah. He said it won't harm me, bless God, so it won't harm me. See, that's how we keep our eyes on him today. We keep our mind on his word. Put everything up against the word of God. Don't depart from the word of God. Hallelujah. I remember when I was out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was right before I moved here to Louisville to start the church. It's over 20 years ago. And I was out in this country home out in Oklahoma. I had the U-Haul in the driveway, had it all packed and full of stuff, ready to go to move here. And anyway, I was sleeping out there on the couch because all the furniture was pretty much gone. I'm out there on the couch in this country home. And somewhere in the middle of the night, it was probably about 5 in the morning or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what it was. And I was lying there on the couch, and all of a sudden, I felt something on my leg. Woke me up. And so I shook my leg a little bit, and it bit me. And when it bit me, it sent like an electric current through my whole body. So I shook my leg again, and it bit me 2 more times running up my leg. I said, "My God," I jumped up. And it's pitch black. And I'm looking around, and I see this little black thing about the size of my fist go running across the room into the wall and disappear. I didn't know what the thing was, you know. So I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I go into this cold sweat, these chills, you know. And the devil comes. I mean, the devil came, and he started hammering me with thoughts. I mean, thoughts were coming at me like machine gun bullets. And the devil began to say, I got you now. You're not going to Kentucky. You're not going to start that church. You're going to die right out here in the country. They're going to find your corpse out here in the morning, you know, when the sun comes up. So I started speaking the word. No one performed the answer, you'll prosper in the name of Jesus. By his stripes, I'm healed. And I grabbed the keys, blessed God, and did what I had to do to get out to the U-Haul. And I got out in the driveway and I turned the U-Haul on. And I'm speaking the word of God in fear, not in faith. Just in a total panic. Just speaking the word of God. No weapon formed against me will prosper. In the name of Jesus. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. No. I turned the U-Haul on, and the devil said to me, he said, you're going to pass out driving down the road and go off the side of the road, and then you're really going to be dead. And they're going to find you dead on the side of the road. It's you all. And I just kept speaking the word of God in fear, you know. And I'm just sitting there for a little while. I'm thinking, what emergency room am I going to go to? You know, what hospital am I going to go to? What emergency room am I going to run to? As I'm speaking the word of God, and I'm just sitting there shaking. I'm feeling weak, man. I'm feeling weak. I got, you know, these chills and sweat and everything, and I'm hanging on the stairwell, and then I just got quiet for a minute, and then this thought came to me. You know, either what you're saying is true or it's not. And I thought, you know what? That's true. And I turned the truck off, and I got out, and I stood there in the driveway, and I said, Lord, I said, I believe your word. I believe it's true. And I said, and if it's not true, I'm just going to die right here, praising you, believing that it is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you that you delivered me, and no weapon formed against me will prosper. And I'll tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And I just began to praise God out there in the driveway. Bless God, out in the country. And every symptom left my body. The cold sweats left. The fear was gone. Peace came over me. And then when I went and checked my leg, there wasn't even a mark on my leg. Hallelujah. And the rest is history. I came on and started church. Praise God, right in the face of the devil. It was on October 30th, actually, 1994. October 30th, the day before Halloween. The devil's worst nightmare began that day. In 1994. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you see, you got to keep your mind on him. Now, I speak in the right things, but that's not where my mind was. My mind's what hospital am I going to go to? That's where my mind was. My mind was on the hospital. What could possibly happen? Even though I speak in his word. See, we got to watch that. I've seen people do that. You know, I knew a gentleman, and he was given a very bad diagnosis from a doctor. And I went over, visited him, began to minister to him, and laid my hands on him. After talking to him for a little while, the presence of God came in there. Sweet anointing began to manifest. And all of a sudden, his wife just jumped right in there in the middle of it, right there, just in fear. She just jumped in to go, Father God, we just thank you that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed, and we thank you that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And I mean, she just rattled every kind of scripture you can rattle off. I mean, that anointing was gone. God's presence was gone. And then when she finished going off on all that, he looked at me and goes, would you pray for my job? I thought, brother, who gives a rip about your job? Is that what you're thinking? Your job? You're thinking about money? You might not be here much longer. And he wasn't. But you see, all that fear, speaking the word of God out of fear. It's not just saying the word, it's thinking on it, meditating on it, setting your mind on it until you clearly see it. Get a picture of it. Get a picture of yourself being healed. Get a picture of yourself being prosperous. Get a picture of yourself delivered. Get a picture of yourself living in the promised land that God has for you. See yourself there. Envision it. That's why God gives you an imagination. Use it. Amen. Cast down the vain imaginations and use your imagination to picture the Word of God and what God has for you. Picture God's plans for your life. Can you say amen? Amen. And so bless God, all the ones that were able to do it, they lived. They lived. And friend, it's the same thing for you and I today. We shall also live. We shall also recover. We shall also overcome if we could keep our eyes on Him. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. Numbers 22. Chapter 22. Now, that former generation, years have gone by. That former generation of murmurs have died off. And now the next generation is maturing, growing in their faith. And this next generation is a faith generation. And that's exciting. That even though mommy and daddy might not have had it right, even though mommy and daddy might have missed it, done all the wrong things, said all the wrong things, spoke all the wrong things over you, just like that first generation did over this second generation. You, like this second generation of Israelites, you can overcome. Praise God and rise up and believe God, contrary to your forefathers and mothers. You can rise up in faith. Come on. And you can change things. You can change things. Amen. Glory to God. You can be a great people of faith regardless of your background in the natural according to the flesh. You decide it. I said you decide it. You decide how things are going to go for you. That's why it's ridiculous for people just to keep blaming things on their parents. And, well, I was raised in the wrong house and I had the wrong example and they did this to me and I had this happen to me when I was a little guy. Okay. Well, it made things hard for these folks too. I mean, they were out there in that wilderness a whole lot longer than they would have liked. And a lot of that had to do with their parents. But they didn't stay there. They didn't keep talking about that and say, woe is me, I can never get into the things God has for me because of what all that's happened to me. No, they shook it off. I said, they shook it off. And they rose up and they went in to the promised land. And so here they are, this second generation, they're coming along now real strong in faith. And in verse 1, it says, then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. Notice that. Sick with dread. Fear. You know, fear is at the root of sickness. Now, don't get me wrong. It's the devil. See, he's the one that causes sickness. But he works, the devil works through fear in the same way God works through faith. Without fear, it's impossible to please the devil. Because if you won't fear, the devil can't do anything to you. A big part of being sick is fear. Worry. Being worried about your condition. Being anxious about your condition. That's why you got to watch when it comes to doctors and things like that. You just got to watch about putting yourself in a position where you just hear a lot of negative, evil reports that generate nothing but fear. Now, we believe in doctors, and we thank God for doctors, and we believe doctors are raised up by God to bless people and help people. But I'm just saying, you got to watch about putting yourself in a position where you're just going to hear a bunch of negative things that are going to do nothing but generate fear in your life. Because fear gives place to the enemy to cause sickness and anything that's of the devil to prosper in our life. So faith gives God place in our life and drives out sickness, but fear will open the door to it. So here he was sick with dread. because of the children. You know, I've had people, you know, talk to me, contact me. You know, they're dealing with symptoms in their body. And after talking to them for a while, I can tell that a lot of their symptoms are fear more than anything else. They're fear symptoms. They're all the symptoms of fear. I mean, it's amazing when you fear what can happen to you, what can happen to your body, the kind of feelings you can have. I mean, I had fear hit me one time. I was in a certain place years back, and I was dealing with symptoms, and then somebody said something that, you know, they went to a doctor, and they had gotten this diagnosis, and the diagnosis just matched completely the symptoms they had, that they had diagnosed, matched the symptoms that I was experiencing. So then the thoughts came, my God, that's what you got. And man, fear gripped me. A spirit of fear. It gripped me. And man, I just began to feel the life going out of me. I mean, I was sitting there, and I mean, people's voices were getting further away. And I began to just sink down inside myself. I felt like I was just sinking down inside myself. And voices were going further and further away. I mean, I was about to pass out. Literally about to faint for fear. I looked down at my hands, and I was as white as a ghost. And meanwhile, all I was doing was fearing. Fear was affecting my body like that. It was literally causing things to shut down in my body. I mean, the guy next to me looked at me and goes, "Are you all right?" I said, "No." I mean, I felt like I was going to die right there. At least pass out. I said, "Get me water." He ran, got me water. I don't know how water helps you in a time like that, but he came back and he handed me a glass of water, and I drank the water, and I mean, I completely revived. It snapped me out of it. Don't quite understand that, but it did. I went to God after that. I said, "God, what in the world was that?" And so I went to Scripture, and there were all kinds of Scriptures. I knew I was about to faint, and there were all kinds of Scriptures I went to along the lines of fainting. And one of them was, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Well, our strength, our spiritual strength, is our faith. So if you faint in the day of adversity, your faith is small. Well, where does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. So I began to see I was deficient in the word. I had gotten distracted from the word. I had gotten distracted from the word. You know, I still prayed and spent my time with the Lord, but I had gotten distracted from the word. And the root of that was pride. You know, the Lord, as I sought him, you know, he uncovered all these things. So I repented for it right there. I repented for it. Man, I got in the word. I said, "Okay, Genesis chapter 1, here we go." And I started reading through the Bible. I didn't read through the Bible in one day, but I mean, I just, you know, I'm going to read through this Bible right now, man. And I just started reading. Every day I went back, picked up where I left off, and I just read through that Bible. Been reading through the Bible every year ever since. Hey, man. Now I mix it up. I use different translations. I'm reading through the Amplified this year. Last year I read through the NIV, just to mix it up a little bit. But you see, when that happened to me, I realized, see, the root of it was my faith was weak. So when I heard that evil report and these evil thoughts begin to come to me, I began to be overcome by it. And I began to faint. But it was amazing how it affected my body. And in a lot of cases, if you can just get people out of fear, you can get rid of a lot of their symptoms. There's people, they have all kinds of symptoms. I know, you know, folks, they've had heart symptoms. And it's nothing more than panic attacks. They've just had panic. They're having panic attacks. They went to the doctor, had it checked out, and they're having panic attacks. So build, if you're dealing with fear, build yourself up in the word of faith. Amen. And that fear will be kept out, and God will be kept in. And you'll be able to be safe and secure, kept by his power. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, if you start seeing your joy going down, you start seeing anxiety rising up in you, your faith is weak. Your faith is weak. Replenish your faith. Come on, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You got to stay on top of it. Keep your faith strong. It doesn't matter if you had strong faith last year. Where are you right now? You got to keep your faith pumped. Amen. There's only one way to do that. The Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. Prayer's good. And you can build yourself up. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Jude 20. But man, nothing like the Word of God. You got to keep coming back to the Word. Man, just feed on the Word. Feed on the Word. Hallelujah. Read it out loud if you can. That's an added blessing. It just builds you up and gets you stronger. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand on our feet. That's as far as we're going to go into this next one.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.